Today on The Balanced Word, take a peek into the heart of God and be encouraged to share His heart of mercy with others.
The heart of God is not to make you good, to make you sacrifice, to make you be more religious. God doesn't go, well, you never missed a Sunday. Awesome. That really means very little to Him. Yeah, we're told our life will be better if we fellowship with others. That's true. But God doesn't judge us if we, you know, for the heathens right now that are at home watching the Cowboys and you know, Green Bay. God doesn't go, no, they love football more than me. Are you kidding me? Most like people who would never ditch church for football like their own righteousness better than Him. And He's like, that's what bugs me. I want mercy.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Try hard to be good. That's the message often conveyed in religious circles. And even well-meaning Christians can get caught up in that. But is that what God wants from us? Actually, as we'll see today on The Balanced Word, He's more interested in mercy. You might think of Him like a doctor, looking for the sick and hurting. We're going through the Bible right now, pulling out key Bible stories along the way. And Pastor Dave Rolfe looks at the calling of Matthew to become a disciple of Jesus. Through it all, God reveals His heart of mercy.
Paul didn't identify as, I'm a sinner. He identified as far as the law is concerned, I am blameless. Pretty righteous. But as soon as he met Jesus, for the rest of his life, even toward the end of his life, here's how he saw himself. He goes, God came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He wasn't doing bad things that he used to not do. It was an awareness that no matter how good I am in this world, that's nothing compared to God. I'm still, there could be more. I'm missing out. That's why at the end of his life, when he's in prison, he's about to be killed, he's still dreaming about more things that he wants to do, more experiences that he wants to have. He wasn't ready to quit, but he had come to an awareness, I am a sinner. I could do better. I am my own worst enemy. I am no better than anyone else. And so by Paul realizing that he was a sinner, he had no problem going and talking to other people who were sinners too. In fact, as a Pharisee, he would have felt very uncomfortable mixing it up with people who were living an immoral lifestyle because he thought, I'm better than that. When he came to understand that he was a sinner, those became some of his dearest friends because there's a fellowship in realizing how messed up we are, in realizing how much we need God every day, how much we need to be forgiven, there's something about that that's better than the deepest religious relationships where we all get together and pretend like we're really good. You know, we've all seen it where people who are very visible as Christians, maybe they're preachers, maybe people know them all over the world, and they can just proclaim how bad other people are and we need to be like this. And the louder they preach, the more likely it is that there's something in their life that they're hiding. It happens over and over again, a big public fail when it's like, wow, you acted like you were good and this was going on. But see, that's what happens. That's the danger of religion. I can start to think that because I'm going through the motions and I'm not committing the sins that I used to commit, I can start to think I got it dialed in. What do I need God for at that point? So my testimony is, yeah, back before I was a Christian, oh, I did this and this and this and this. And boy, praise God, I came to Jesus. He cleaned me up and now I'm awesome. Try living up to that awesomeness. Because the Bible makes it really clear, we all sin, always. And the way that we know God, John says in 1 John chapter 1, is because we know we've sinned. We know we continue to sin, and we admit it. If we confess, if we say the same thing, if we agree with Him, then He forgives us, then we're clean. As soon as we start denying it, John says, then you're just a liar, and you're making God a liar. As soon as you think that you're not the sinner, because the sinner knows he needs a savior. The sinner knows he's sick and needs the great physician. And Jesus just goes, this is what I came for. And so the people who think that they're not sinners, they know deep down inside they are. And that's partly why he was saying this to them, is they would go, ooh, yeah, he knows about my secret life. But he goes, I can't even start with someone unless they know that they're a sinner. So if you're righteous, praise you. Just move on. But if you know you're a sinner, now we can work on something. But what we need to understand is this is the heart of God. The heart of God is not to make you good, to make you sacrifice, to make you be more religious. God doesn't go, well, you never missed a Sunday. Awesome. That really means very little to him. Yeah, we're told our life will be better if we fellowship with others. That's true. But God doesn't judge us if we, you know, for the heathens right now that are at home watching the Cowboys and you know, Green Bay. God doesn't go, no, they love football more than me. Are you kidding me? Most like people who would never ditch church for football like their own righteousness better than him. And he's like, that's what bugs me. I want mercy. I want to show mercy. And so many of you, when you came to the Lord, there are exceptions. But for most of us, it was when we were at a time of great pain, when life wasn't working for us, when it was hard. And then we're like, I need something that I can turn to where somebody cares about my pain. And for some of us, we're raised in an environment where we just said, you know, that, you know, yeah, I'm good. And of course, I believe in Jesus. And then one day something happened where it was a huge fail. Now you're looking yourself in the mirror and going, I never thought I could ever do that. And instead of God going, you disgust me, he goes, now, you're hurting. I can show mercy to you. We can finally talk. When you were pretending like you were so righteous, I had nothing to say. And you just kept studying the Bible and thinking the more you know, the holier you are. You were looking at other people in disgust. He goes, once you fail, now we're talking. Now we've got something that works. And the important thing for us as those who follow Jesus is that if we want to follow him, we should have that same kind of compassion that he has. We should be able to look at people and be drawn to pain. Because we need, you know, people who need mercy need somebody to show mercy to them. And most of society isn't going to do that. And maybe we can. If we have his heart, we're not trying to make good people better. We're trying to make people in pain understand that he understands, that he will meet them there, that he will care, that he will show mercy, that he will forgive. But not so that you can become a good religious person. So that you can be rescued and realize, wow, I needed that and other people need it too. Be really careful. When you look at people who are sinning in a horrible way in whatever context and you're disgusted by them, because that is not God's heart. You know, so often I hear people say things like, oh, how God must be so disgusted when he sees what's going on in this part of society or in this part of the world or this. No. To think that is to misunderstand that God is a merciful God. He cares more about mercy than he does about religion. When he sees people hurting other people, when he sees people hurting themselves, when he sees people doing things that are disgusting, the reason those things are disgusting is because they damage people for whom Christ died. But his heart is always to come with mercy. And when that isn't our heart, we don't represent him very well. And I'll tell you something, the more you're disgusted by other people's sin, the greater the chance is that you have become religious and that you are covering up your own failure and your own sin. And that's a dangerous place to be. Well, I was raised going to a Christian church, very conservative, fundamental, and, oh, they knew right and wrong. They were really suspicious of Billy Graham because he talked to Catholics. And I was like, oh, that's horrible. And I remember, as I was a young man, people coming and saying, you are in sin because of your long hair. The Bible says if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him. If I could have seen the future, I would have gone, just give me a few years. It's not going to be a problem at all. But one time when I was a brand new Christian and I took over the youth group and I played a secular song in the youth group. It was a song by Jackson Brown called The Pretender. It's a song all about somebody who just gives up on reality, gives up on love. You know, true love once could have been a contender, but I'm just going to fake it in life. And it was really powerful, but, you know, one of the dads who was in leadership in the church called me on the carpet, and they brought me over to somebody's house with the whole board and just ripped me for playing a secular song in the youth group. And this guy was just disgusted by me, so much so it just totally pushed me out of that church, and I just went to Calvary after that. But, you know, the guy who was so disgusted by me playing Jackson Brown in one of the best songs that's ever been written, in my opinion, I found out years later from his kids that he was molesting his kids. It's like, whoa, he was so good. He was better than me. He was so righteous. He was so religious. I've lived long enough to see that people who think they're good, who present themselves as being really righteous, they never are real. They're phony. That's something that we need to be careful about, you guys, because over time, God works in our lives. We do. We, you know, some of our old habits we drop and we go, boy, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. And some of our old sins we're just too tired to commit. And so we're like, yep, I'm getting better here. We finally get to the point where we're in a sweet spot where we think we're pretty good. We think we are good Christians. Our testimony becomes what God did for us 30 years ago. Now we're just good. That is a recipe for disaster because our Messiah looks at us and says, okay, you're righteous now. I guess you don't need me. Of course you don't have mercy on others because when you see people sinning, it bothers you because you know the sins that you're hiding yourself and you would never want anyone to know that you might struggle with something like this. It's ridiculous. But we eliminate the opportunity for God to work in our lives and work through us to show mercy to others because we think we're doing pretty good now. Hey, you know, okay, 30 years ago you quit smoking pot. I'm not impressed. You know, today you've been trying to quit smoking for 15 years and you're still puffing on a cigarette. I'm not so shocked. That's all of us. We all do self-destructive things. We all do dumb things that hurt us and hurt others. That's the essence of humanity. But if we really understand his mercy, it's humbling, but it takes the pressure off. It's like, okay, I just did something wrong. Well, if that was the first sin I committed, I'd feel pretty bad about it. But no, I've already got a track record of failure. So that's me. I go to him for mercy. I go to him for grace. I admit it to him immediately and I receive forgiveness. It's one of the reasons why, as a church, we really try to create opportunities for people to get involved showing mercy. I mean, it's not, you know, when we send a group over to the rescue mission to minister to people there, it isn't so we can put notches in our belt, get them saved, and then have them go seek the almighty dollar like we do. That's not the idea. When we send people overseas to other places, it's not so that we can make them good. It's because we see pain. That's our invitation. That's our opportunity to be who Jesus is, to go to the pain and show mercy. It's why we have a lot of, and we've been having training classes in the church for people who want to help in the prison ministries and with prisoners as they're getting out of prison and things like that. We have a lot of people that most of you have no idea who they are, who are going to the jails and doing that. And you might go, why would you want to do that, man? Those people, are you kidding me? What if they find out who you are and they come look for you later? And, well, for one thing, I think some of the most dangerous people in the world, you're going to find them sitting in church, even preaching from pulpits, frankly. Yeah, including me. I could hurt you. You know, I'm so far away from being the example of, wow, look how good Dave is. All I've done, just like you, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I experiment with other sins. And I ultimately get down to the bottom line one, is that when I start thinking I'm better than others, that's the ultimate fail. That was the sin of the devil himself. As I read the Gospels, and we'll see this in other passages too, the most familiar characters that I see are Pharisees. because religion always turns into self-righteousness. Unless we guard that in our hearts every day, then naturally we were like, hey, this is working pretty good. Well, I'm better than I used to be. Well, I'm sure better than them. If I'm at work, I don't want to hang around with non-Christians, so we'll get the Christians together and have a holy huddle every day at lunch. Or we'll, it's the way we live our life. What we need is a Christian version of this and a Christian version of that. No, we don't. If we're Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm looking for sick people who know they need to be healed. I'm looking for people who are failing, and I want to find a way to show mercy to them and to bless them and to help them. And that is what Christianity is. If that makes you uncomfortable, I don't blame you, because most of the garbage that's taught as Christianity is Phariseeism. But make up your own religion. Don't take Jesus's and say that you follow Jesus if you don't have a heart of mercy for others. And if you really kind of believe that you're getting good at it, you just left Christianity. And I think if you started your own religion, it could probably be huge. You could probably just have, fill stadiums with people who want to go, yep, we're better than a whole lot of people too, who will just spend all their energy looking at the world and going, oh, how disgusting. Oh, how can they be so stupid? Oh, how can they believe that kind of stuff? When Jesus came, he's God. And he comes simply and says, who needs mercy? Who's hurting right now? Who is it that knows that they've failed themselves? Who is it that knows that there's got to be more to life than this? Pharisees are like, oh, not us. We get it. He goes, pushes them out of the way and goes, okay, well then bring me the people who don't get it. Give me the people who know one thing. I am failing myself. I am not achieving the destiny that God has for me. And he goes, I can work with those guys. But I can't heal people who won't admit they're sick. I just won't. I mean, many of us are that way. When we're sick, we go into denial. I'm not really sick. I'm just like, under the weather. Now, there are some people who will try anything, and that's kind of crazy. I think some people live their lives looking for a magic pill. So they buy like tons of Christian books because every Christian book claims that this is the one. This is going to change your marriage. This is going to change your life. This is going to give you joy. And we just sit there and go, yum, 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 like going to a medicine cabinet and going, I can tell there's something wrong in my life. I'll take one of everything in the cabinet. How about going to the doctor, him, and saying, I don't even know what's wrong, but I know something's wrong, and I realize that I'm a part of it. Do you care? Will you show mercy? Is there anybody out there who has your heart for mercy for me? Is there somebody that's really going to care about me? Because every time I look at people who are religious, they just act like they're better than me, and I don't know how to connect to that. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked when we find out all the things that we thought were so bad that God was like, what? I didn't care about that. How'd you think that that was worse than this, than treating people in a judgmental way? You really thought you accomplished something by stopping a bad habit? He's going to go, my priorities are different than that. I want to encourage you, if you felt somewhat isolated, maybe you played the religious game for a long time and people thought you were pretty good, and then something happened that exposed your failure, and now you're just like, oh man, I don't think God loves me anymore, because I was always told he would love me if I would be good enough, and now I realize that fell apart. I'm not good. I failed. Hey, the best thing that you ever could have done was to fail. If it brings you to the point where you realize you're a sinner, really, where you realize you need mercy, don't listen to the voices that tell you you're going to have to earn your way back. God says just the opposite. Until you realize you can't earn anything, I got nothing for you. I'm a doctor. I'm looking for sick people. I'm a mercy giver. I care about people. I look for people who are in pain. If you don't hurt, shut up and get out of the way, because I got an agenda. And you'll know how you're doing with God when you ask yourself, when I see people hurting, do I judge them or do I care about them? Am I hurt for them? Will I stop and pray for them? Will I offer to try to give them some help? If you are repulsed by people in pain, you're a Pharisee. But if you look at people in pain and go, wow, I understand how they hurt. I understand some of the reasons why. And they so need to know God's mercy. They need to know that it could be better than this. And it's not going to get better if they try harder. It's going to get better if they admit who they are, if they stop being a phony, if they stop pretending, and they just begin to live, allow themselves to be forgiven and to move on. I think most people are, we talked about temptation last week. I think a whole lot of people are absolutely ashamed of things that they've thought about doing or things that they are tempted to do. That's the devil. Just because you had a bad idea and you did nothing about it, you shouldn't feel guilty about that. That's what temptation is. But God wants people who know they need him. And so better to go from being, as far as the law, I'm blameless, to going, I am the chief of sinners. That is the quantum leap from religion to Jesus. And that's the only gospel that the Bible really presents. If you don't like it, you think you're pretty good, God has ways of showing you that you're not all that. And when you feel crushed, just remember, that's his love, wanting to meet you with his mercy. Imagine if you knew that everyone around you had that heart for you. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to admit your failure? The truth is, most people in your life want you to just shut up and say you're fine. When they say, how are you doing? They just want to hear fine, because they don't have a heart of mercy. But Jesus does, and we can, and we must, if we're going to follow him.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Before we wrap things up for the day, let's turn to the Lord in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, as hard as we try to pretend to be good, you know our hearts, and you know we're not. On our best day, we become more proficient at hurting ourselves and others. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you came and said, I came for the people who know they're sick. I came for the people who know that they're not living up to their potential. Thanks for having that heart. Please teach us to have that heart. Cause us to look in the mirror and see our soul and be honest about who we really are. Help us to stop pretending, because you set us free from pretending. We don't need to fake anything. You know our hearts. You know everything we've ever thought and done. And all you want to do is love us and heal us and show mercy on us. Help us to stay there. To remember always that we are sinners standing in line for your mercy. God, if there are people here today who've never really even thought of it this way, maybe they're religious and they've gone to church their whole life, and they just always bought into the thing that, look, fake it till you make it, act like you're good until you become good. Help them to see your gospel today as never before. Help them to realize, boy, that's what I need. Is somebody who can meet me where I am in my failure, somebody who looks at me and sees my pain and says, I feel that with you. I can help make it better. And God, I pray that they would just respond to your gospel. for all of us who do know you, and you have shed so much mercy on us. Help us to do the same for others. Help us to recognize the Phariseeism that naturally creeps up in our hearts as we get further and further away from the truth. And teach us every day to report for duty as failures, as those who hurt and need mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we find Jesus turning over a few tables in the temple. Pastor Dave Rolfe will have us consider our lives as a temple and whether there are some things that Jesus would be displeased with. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.